A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
That's right. All right. You ready? One, two, three.
We happy crew, we joyfully join the fray. No daring do we wouldn't pursue, but thinking it through, that isn't the dragon way. Yea, we thwart the enemies of the land, storming a fort and killing for sport, with never a thought for anything like a plan, like a plan. We're the dragon friends, not because we have friends who are dragons, not because we're dragons who are friends. It's mainly because Dungeon Friends has different overtones. We're the Dragon Friends. We're the Dragon Friends.
Raw magics, mystical ley lines, conduits connecting places unknown. Such is the magic of those that deem to unstitch the world, creating spaces within spaces through which vast powers allow adventurers to travel hitherthor to thitherthor. Words I just invented, but I'm going to go with the third take. The Dragon Friends have escaped Old Hill Sanatorium and traveled through a magical portal with their new friend Table, a less ambulatory adventurer than he was 5 minutes ago, and are only now landing with a thump on another circle, runes ceasing to glow already, two slightly wet legs, all that you can see in what is otherwise a small, featureless stone room that you recognize as one of the cells underneath Daggerford Castle. It seems you are home again.
Ooh. There's also the body of a big dead pigeon.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. That's, you land and the legs are the second most horrifying thing, because the figure of Chair slumps down, blood geysering from his neck as he dies.
Also, sorry, I was out at the back dying. Did he put his head in the...
He put his head out of the portal.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to do that. Okay.
Well, in his case, he did.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, jealous,
sir. How does Table feel about that?
He's like, oh, some people have all the luck. Hey! And he sticks his head just on the edge of the portal.
No, because I've still got him. No, Table.
And also the magic doesn't seem to work. It seems to be a one-way trip here. This is an old portal that connected the sanatorium to the castle. It's not one that you knew about, so it's obviously older than your relationship with Brackenwald.
Does that pigeon have any, like, treasure or anything?
Reassemble his character sheet.
He had all the stuff he stole from...
He had a
prayer beads, a symbol of Ilmata.
He had a nice whistle,
staff.
Yeah, you're right.
He had an amulet, he had vestments, he had a staff, a water skin, torch, tinderbox, 50 feet of rope, you know, the usual. And no, I'm afraid to say only the prayer beads. Are you robbing a corpse?
I'm a dragon friend, aren't I?
It feels different when it's a fellow adventurer, though, doesn't it?
Does it?
Okay, are you happy to just let them rifle through his...
Yeah, he won.
Dave, can I hear our crazy captor guy, the painter? Is he down the hall?
Yeah, you can actually see a light. These are the cells underneath, and as you know, one of them has been turned into a little apartment for Tom Smedley. You can't hear anything, but the candle in his room burns, presumably, and you can see the light splashed out on the corridor.
What time is it, by the way?
What time is it, Dave?
It is now getting later in the day. You've spent a bit of time in the sanatorium, so we're getting close to evening.
Okay.
Smedley, it's me, the spooky lady, the spookers. I'm spooking you out. Tell me where the next place will be. Oogie boogie.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Why are your eyes closed?
What? I'm doing the thing. You know, he's always talking about them who are coming. I'm pretending to be one of them.
No sound comes from Smedley's room.
Wake up!
But you hear a discreet cough at the top of the stairs.
Can I just say, can I make a stealth check?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. What,
cool,
hang,
I rolled an 18. Plus one.
Yeah,
and my hands are snaking towards the whistle.
It's a sleight of hands check. But with 18, all right, opposed by you, Bobby.
19.
Ah. All right, so Bobby grabs your hand, and it's quite easy because you're now only 6 feet tall. As you reach
up. Yeah, it was all in the torso. Guys, we're going to need to chuck this fan out.
I'm saying,
because I had 2 foot of leg.
You were 8 feet tall. You lost 2 feet.
That's a quick baby. Have you met our games master, a joke book from the 1960s?
Bobby, you slap his hand away at the last minute.
I just push him over.
You've won this round, but now to finish me off.
I scoop him up again in my arms.
Okay, so you're going to walk...
Smedley... So we're going to go to Smedley's...
You walk into Smedley's room?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you walk up the corridor and you head into Smedley's room. And the room, his meager things are still there. His bed is there. There is a low shelf with a candle. If you remember, it was all appointed by Pomplamoose. And his easels are all empty and they have been smashed. And Smedley is gone. And most of the paintings are gone, but there is a smashed painting in the corner of the room.
Is there a sign of, like, the locks being broken? Has someone busted him out?
Yes. As you look at the locks, you can see that they've all been forced.
We've been attacked. Pomplamoose!
Pomplamoose!
The cough that you heard at the stairs takes another 2 steps down and coughs a second time.
And this one was to, by the way, clear my throat.
It wasn't to indicate that you were standing in the darkness and wanted some attention?
No. Senor Beston, that is not...
Senor?
I speak many languages. It's got code switching. Sometimes I just go between one and the other. Senor Beston, Don Beston...
Say the thing you're thinking about saying. I could tell something flicked through your brain just then.
Japanese best on.
Please, best on senpai.
Smedley, our dinner guest, for that is what he was meant to be, is no longer with us.
How did he get out?
Some men in Oods.
What?
Oods.
What?
In Oods.
What?
They were wearing Oods.
What?
No. This is again the bed that you have made gleefully for yourself.
Say it again.
They were wearing Oods.
What?
Over their aces.
I can't understand a word you're saying, man.
Bobby goes up and grabs him by the collar and pulls him down.
It's a big rough, remember?
A big rough. Pulls his big rough down. Says, now listen here. You were in charge. This happened on your watch.
I understand.
We never make any mistakes or do anything bad. This is on you.
This happened while I was sleeping, and I came here, and...
You were sleeping?
He wasn't actually sleeping. This happened while he was returning with the carriage from the sanatorium.
Okay, so I was sleeping in the carriage, and I came home, and I saw some people in Oods.
What?
Oods. Oods.
He meant half head sack.
Oh, right.
They took our guest, and I do not know where.
How do you know if you weren't here that they took him?
Because I saw some hooded people living in the carriage, and
you can make an insight check if you want.
Yeah, you know what?
Two. I want to do an insight too.
No. One person. No. Rolls.
Three.
Okay.
Regardless of my two, you're suspect.
Okay.
You've had it in for us the moment we arrived here. You were the Duke, and we came, and we did Duke.
It was quite nice being the Duke, yes.
Yeah. See, he doesn't deny it.
He didn't deny it.
He doesn't deny it.
What?
Get in the cage.
Take your shirt off.
What?
Get in the cage.
We want to see if you got a symbol of the cult on your body or anything like that.
Yeah, yes. Strip down. I'll do it too.
Yeah, shirt swap.
Bastion starts taking his shirt off.
Yeah. I don't want you to feel
protest.
Alone in this.
I have put up with a lot from the dragon friends. Yes, I was the Duke, as you say, before you came, and I think I've been behaving pretty well.
And as he says this, he's untying a cravat, and then there's tiny buttons he's undoing.
Yeah. There is a cult running wild in the... village...
Look, sorry.
And you accuse me? You accuse me?
And with that, he opens wide his shirt, and you can see that his entirely pasty white, very hairless body is uncult scarred.
Pants.
All right, well,
Baston has already taken off his pants.
Yep. Keep up.
Do you know what? Do you know what? Do you know what? Do you know what? Do you know what?
What?
Do you know what?
Me
what?
Feel like you're stalling.
I quit this. I quit this whole thing.
And he gathers up his shirt. And he's trembling with outrage. He's just so well bred and impeccably trained that he's not raising his voice.
That's ducal property.
What?
All that stuff you took off. It's on the floor now. And
I brought this from home.
Well, don't you live here?
Yes.
Well, what's your plan here?
No.
All right.
He starts taking off all his clothes.
Yes, takes off all his clothes. Mm-hmm. This is an embarrassment, obviously. I'm not thrilled with this. But it is less of an embarrassment than working for the... You should hear how they talk about you in the coffee houses.
And he spits on the ground. And he walks upstairs.
Hey, you forgot your spit.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
And Pamplemousse LaCroix has quit the employ.
Hey, table. You want a nice, well-paid job?
Oh, I'll do anything
it
if it gets...
not well-paid.
Table, I guess, crawling. How do you walk? Are you walking on your hands?
I think he walks perfectly on his hands. So they're kind of long enough that he can put them under his torso and just... Bup, 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 bup.
Oh, he sort of, you cross your stumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, he walks like R2-D2, but across rough ground.
Oh, like... Yeah.
All right, you're 25 feet now, and you only have two hands, but otherwise, that's fine.
Great. Cool.
Sorry, that was actually me clearing my throat. I'm so sorry to do this, but could somebody please get me a lot of water?
So just for people listening at home, Ben, who almost died choking on
this
Skittles
is not enough water,
in the previous episode, put an entire microphone in his mouth.
What could go wrong?
Now, you can investigate Smedley's room if you want.
Smedley's room, what's the painting of?
So you pick... You pick up the pieces of the painting and you bring them into the candlelight.
Wait. Somebody has ripped up the painting?
Most of the paintings are gone. One of the paintings has been trashed and has been thrown around the room.
Ooh, puzzles.
So there's only about three or four pieces. It's pretty easy to put together.
Okay, Dave. So I put the straight edges at the edges.
Yep.
That's how you do it. And then in the middle, you fill it in. But you've got to start with the edges.
Okay, an hour later, Baston calls the others around, and you all crowd around the reassembled.
Whoa.
And then very delicately, Bobby just takes two pieces and swaps them. And Baston's like, oh yeah, that makes a lot more sense. and you find yourselves looking. It is the painting of the fourth gate, the one that he had started working on. Ooh. If you remember the stool with three figures standing around it, and there was a kind of smear. He'd started to draw something on the stool, and now you can see a man, his shirt ripped open, chained back, with back bent over the stool, and three robed figures around him, one of them holding a hand and pulling what seems like eldritch energy, and script words are spiraling out of the man's chest and head and into the man's hand, and on the man's other hand is placed over a book being held by one of the other cultists, and he's, as he transfers the energies wherein.
How pasty is this man in the image?
It's not Pomplamoose. Oh,
okay, just checking.
Do we recognize the man? Are there any features on this man?
Yeah, he, well, why don't you make for me a perception check?
I got a 19 before.
Oh, you got a 19? Yeah. You recognize it's the figure of Thomas Smedley.
Smedley?
Smedley!
They've got Smedley.
Our precious medals!
Right now they're going to be...
You locked him up!
Yeah, but you know, it's like Stockholm Syndrome, but when you like the victim.
Yeah, it's like Stockholm Syndrome, but for winners.
What about the background of the painting? Where does it look like it's happening, Dave?
That's an interesting question. There's no windows. The room is dark. It looks like it's underground somewhere.
They're in a place right now, sucking Smedley's soul out and putting it in a book.
Okay, guys.
You can't bear to think of it.
Are there paints scattered around?
Yep.
Bobby's going to, like, guzzle some paint.
Oh, he's going to do it again.
Okay, so you're going to take some of the paint that that has before induced a glimmering, like, trance for you?
Yep.
Okay, remember, last time you took it, something crawled back out, if you remember. There are consequences to taking this.
Crawled back out of what?
Your mouth, I think it was. You vomited paint and it turned into a bodak.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to lock up a cell so that when you puke into the cell.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Perfect.
Chug, 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 chug.
Cadmium yellow. Here I go.
Okay, so you see you suddenly find yourself walking down an empty city street. It looks like Daggerford, but possibly also Waterdeep. Strange, familiar, yet utterly foreign. Everywhere around you is empty and you are by yourself. The moon is high in the sky and you get the sense that you are walking that familiar city of Carcosa. You know where to walk and your body takes you further forward as you turn until you find yourself standing in front of a giant facade of a cafe with a swinging in the breeze, a wooden signpost that has a man standing in a dancer's pose, naked, covered in tattoos.
Okay.
You walk through the doors into this cafe bar, which is also empty, and are drawn downstairs where you find yourself in a basement room with small figures in robes standing around in a circle. One of them, taller than the others, is standing and commanding the audience as he looks up and you realize again that it is the herald. And he says, "My children, we are so close that where we have failed, we have triumphed. Where we have lost our way, we have found the truth, and the lady smiles on us once more. Behold, in a single night, two gates stand at the precipice of opening." Then he stops for a second because he feels that wasn't cool, but no one says anything. And so he just keeps going.
No one does. Yeah.
And he says, "We have found the tome, and his secrets will be revealed to us tonight. But beyond this miracle of miracles, I have another gift for you. For last night, the others have returned. Behold." And a huge door opens, and you get the sense of rows, this time maybe 50 hooded figures stretching out in a dark corridor, each of them in small black peaked hoods, and they all take a step forward, and then suddenly your eyes bolt upright and you find yourself vomiting uncontrollably into the cell. As cadmium yellow goes everywhere.
I just direct his head. I hold his head and I pull his hair back.
All right, you take...
Cradle him.
another 9 points of damage, but you are still lucid.
Puke
and
damage.
Also because you poisoned, it's cleared your lungs and you are no longer poisoned.
Oh. Bonus.
What did you see?
Spill.
Have I not spilled enough? The Illustrated Man. The Illustrated Man. They're meeting in the basement of the Illustrated Man.
Oh, cool. Pumple Moose!
Quit, you fuck weed.
Why are you still here? Why are you responding to us if you really quit?
Force of habit, and I am packing my bags.
Well, get the carriage before you do that.
No, I will not. I will not do this.
I'll give you your pants back.
What?
I'll give you your pants back.
No.
Please?
All right, I will do it.
All right, Bumblemoose.
Bumblemoose comes downstairs and scoops his spit up.
That is mine and it goes in my mouth.
Bumblemoose has a very small, slim attaché case and a pair of pants, and he stands behind the carriage and he says, well, I suppose this is it.
Okay, see you when we get back. Bye.
Okay, but remember you will not.
Wait, can we?
Can we have eggs and bacon in the morning, please?
No, you will not have eggs and bacon in the morning. You will
How
not
do you
have
know
eggs?
You won't be here unless you make them? Got you. Okay, bye.
If you see me again, something's gone very wrong.
All right, and you jump onto the carriage, and you are whisked away to the bohemian part of the caravan quarter, to a cafe by day, bar by night.
Ooh, bohemian.
Famed spot, beloved of radicals, socialists, and...
Toulouse-Lautrec.
Anarchists. That is the Illustrated Man Cafe. Mm.
Is there a racy windmill?
There's,
Would it be a windmill, but the body of the windmill is a lady, and it's like she's doing the veil dance?
It's not so much. It's not so much a burlesque place. It's more like kind of a hotbed of socialist anarchist thought. It's a political cafe. There is a sign outside that tonight is a combination soapbox, poetry slam. Like there are beatniks. Everyone's wearing black.
Yeah. Berets.
Some berets.
You hear like red the blood of angry men, black the color in the song. Like you hear that wafting out.
We never come here. The coffee terrible.
The coffee is actually famously very good. The best coffee in Daggerford.
How did we not
depend
know?
Depend who you ask.
Now, you are. How are you dressed, all of you? Because, as I said, this place has politics.
I am not wearing pants. I am wearing a diaper fashioned from a pair of pants.
I put my pants back on.
Okay.
In the carriage.
I forgot you were naked.
I'm mostly covered in cadmium yellow.
I can't remember. I've just got regular. I've probably got a ducal cloak on or something.
If you said, like, oh, I think I might be dressed like a mermaid, I'd be like, yeah, great. Dress like a
sexy
mermaid.
Bumblebee, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. Dave, is the building free?
You've got to go shopping.
Is the building freestanding? Or is it attached like a terrace?
No, it's freestanding.
So we could sneak around the back and see if there's any windows into the basement.
Yeah, if you want to.
I think you found a great problem in your interpretation of basement.
Have you never seen a spooky murder movie where the people escape from the tiny little window that's at the top of the room because they're in a basement?
Yeah. All the series Cheers, where you can see the...
Wait, is that bar in a basement?
Yeah.
All right, are you all scouting? Are you all going to... There is a bouncer in a kind of severe suit with a beret who is standing.
Suit and beret is a strong look.
Yeah. And it's a turtleneck as well.
Oh, take one thing off before you leave the house.
Excuse me.
You got this is a lot.
Excuse me.
Before you leave house, look in the mirror, take one thing off. Me suggest... this, and she pulls a sword out of his thing, or whatever weapon he has.
Make a post-dexterity check. He rolled a 12.
I got a 18.
Filch draws his sword, which is a thin rapier, and it clatters, and he suddenly looks at her. You have a second to react before consequences.
I plunge it into his old neck.
Make an attack with advantage.
Oh, boy.
It's nice to be Filch again.
Wow, just straight up murder.
I got a 1 and a 16.
All right, well, you're lucky that a 16 hits, so that's with advantage. With a rapier is D8 plus your strength, so D8
plus... Into his throat. Surely that counts for something.
D8 plus 7.
The D8s are always the hardest dice to find.
The little diamond
ones. They're the diamond boys.
Yeah, I got a 7.
Okay, a 7.
Plus 3
is 10, double to 20. So he gasping, blood spurting out of his neck. He tries to call for help, but his voice is ruined. And with one hand, he's trying to grab... he starts scrabbling around in panic in his pockets.
What you looking for? Another look?
Yeah, me. Hope they're not an eyeglass in there.
I hope there's not an ASOS shopping basket in there, loser.
And
God, to die like that would be so bad.
Way to die, the sartorialist.
Eden, it's your go, but before you go, you hear a scream and you turn around and you see a woman in a black bonnet and also a severe suit with her hand to her mouth, and she just screams very, very loudly. She's about 10 feet away from you.
Is she down the street?
Yeah, there's about 3 people on the street, and now they've all turned to look.
And
you're
I'd be
up.
Like, I pull out my badge. Do I have the ducal coin?
No, Bobby has it.
What do I have in my pocket that looks like a ducal coin?
You just asked for the coin.
Somebody give me the coin, real quick.
I'll give you the coin.
Okay.
Bobby, you can't remember who has the coin.
Okay, I turn the coin, I'd be like, ducal business, nothing to see here.
Make a persuasion check.
Oh boy, oh boy. 19 plus persuasion, 21 derv.
Alright.
He's just having a little nappy poo. He'll be up soon.
She, it's safer to believe
and
it.
Filch says, take your neck medicine. Good boy.
Oh, well, if that man has his neck medicine, well, that's pretty good by me.
Okay.
Hi!
That's her saying something else.
What did she see?
She saw a shop with a pun that she didn't understand.
What was it?
Yeah, what was the pun?
What was the store?
It keeps digging the hole deeper.
It was a shoe shop.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it it was... shoe will die. And she saw that and went, oh my God, does that mean I'll die? And she went, aah! But most punters would say that and go, shoe will die. Oh, it's a shoe shop.
Nailed it.
Well,
this game really needs a mechanic where you can take away a dice of inspiration.
So, Dave.
She looks again.
Hey, you want to join our adventure
she
party?
Blinked.
Simon, it's Bobby Pancakes.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm just going to go in the door, in the front.
Well, you can't because the thug is still standing there.
Wait, isn't he dead?
He's dead.
No, he's not. He's holding this blood in. His throat is ruined. And
he's
grappling
for
something.
Oh, he's holding his blood in, then he'll be fine.
He's grappling for something in his pocket.
I'm just going to keep cutting his head off.
Move on.
I made it like a little incision.
Yeah. I'm just going to put it in there and then just like move it to the side.
Make an attack with advantage.
This is just neck medicine. Nothing to see here, people.
That's
move along.
It's an 18.
18, yep. Hits.
He's got
sneak attack, so plus 2d6. It's enough. You know what? Bobby walks over and cuts his head off. Tom looks with a jealous stare.
Some people have all the luck.
As the body falls to the ground in a heap, there is a blood stain on the door, but otherwise it's remarkably little mess. The fight was very quick.
I'm going to go for what was in his pocket. I saw him reaching for what was in his pocket. Sorry.
Cool. Inside his pocket you find another whistle.
Ooh.
And you can also, if you want, have his clothes and stuff if you want as well.
Who would fit in the beret the most?
I mean, stupid question. I put the beret on.
Oh, he looks amazing.
Does he have any like credentials or anything that would tie him to the lab?
You look underneath, and as you pull his shirt off, looking, searching for stuff, you can see tattooed above his breast is a symbol of a lampwick knot.
This guy was a baddie.
I'm going to cut that patch of skin off him.
Oh.
Bloody Bobby Dexter over here.
I don't like that at all.
You hear the woman's voice go, "Is this still official Duke business?"
Absolutely it is.
Is this medicine that is here?
And that's because she's just seen a fast food store that says you will fry.
I don't want to fry! My life is hell! I'm constantly starting by things! What, that I'd never wandered into the pun district? But I can't get out!
Okay, because of your...
There's a place that does a really good pad key mao.
Yeah?
It's called Time to Tie. Yeah.
And she goes, oh, I don't know if that's threatening.
Okay, you've made such quick work of this that you, and now the street is empty. You have a moment to go in if you want, but there's a body that this.
You're
gonna have to deal with the body.
I'm gonna lean the body.
Sorry, Alex just explained her pun to Ben off mic because she thought he didn't get it.
Ben, it's. You know the word tie?
Yeah.
It sounds like the word die, so that would be threatening.
Sure.
So do the noise.
Okay, go home. Go home, lady. Get out of here.
Can I please have another bottle of water?
Dave, I...
What do you do with the body?
The body, I slump him against the wall and kind of cross his legs.
He has no head.
And oh, yeah, yeah. Can I balance it on his...
Yeah, make a sleight of hand check.
Okay, here we go. How good am I at balancing heads on bodies? 15.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Best on, pulls out of a pocket a cocktail skewer and then puts...
You never know when a trickle needs whistling.
Balances the head on the stump, moves his hands away like he's Indiana Jones, and then he looks at everyone. He's like, "Yep, we can go now."
And I kind of No, I wanted him to make him look like he's pensively thinking, like a beatnik would.
Okay, you know, you're gonna need a few more cocktail sticks.
Perfect.
And the door swings open. Congratulations, you have made your way inside the Illustrated Man.
Awesome.
Which, like, honestly, you could have just walked in. I reckon. Like, are we a Unity ticket on that?
Like, yeah, I mean, bounce.
But there was a bouncer.
Yep, you didn't really talk to him.
You've gone to bars before.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Like, he literally...
We're over 18. We're allowed to just walk into places.
Yeah, like, listen back to the tapes, but I think he just said, like, how are you?
Yeah, Hing, if you're listening, I hope you feel vindicated.
Oh, boy. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Into the place we go, which
we're
allowed to
do. Wait, this is a turning point. We can't blame it on Hing anymore.
It's like Hing was inside us all along.
Is he our Tyler Durden?
Whoa.
He doesn't exist. Okay, you walk in. There is a small semicircular stage in the corner where there is another figure in a black suit with a pencil-thin mustache who has just finished giving a speech. The last word is daddy-o, and all of the crowd are clicking their fingers.
I do clicks. Right on, man!
Everybody stops and looks at you all.
Excuse me.
I just wanted to say that I'm hip to your vibe, daddy-o.
Adjust your crew.
I adjust my
beret.
My beret to a jauntier angle.
The man in the pencil moustache goes, well, if you're so hip to her, why don't you get up and
Don't you dare,
Well, sure. What are we all talking about?
We're talking about he's a very short man. The patriarchy and we're talking about the, you know, that poem just now was about the Dukes of Daggerford.
Oh, yeah. I hate those guys.
Yeah, they're the pits.
Well, come on up then, hip cat. And he indicates.
Oh, man. I'm dying inside right now. Okay. All right. Clicks all around if you hate the Dukes of Daggerford.
Why, calls out one of them.
Oh, man, because they're real buttholes. Dukes, man. Makes me want to pukes in my own hand, man. Makes me want to go to the park and feed the ducks. Because they don't give no clucks, man.
The crowd is starting to go wild. Wow. They're really
And to be fair, a crowd that's going wild sounds like this.
You gotta bring down the power if you wanna take a shower, man. You gotta fight the Dukes if you wanna eat some cukes in your chin, cause you're feeling thin on cash, man. You ain't got no garnish to varnish the inside of your pockets. Yeah, I mean, we all are, if they'd only let us be.
No, we the actual Dukes, remember? Well, I can't remember who the Duke right now, but we share responsibility between the four of us.
The crowd starts to hiss, or you start hearing hisses.
Oh, and hey,
spotlight
man.
Spotlight hits Filch. Why not?
Yeah, we're the Dukes. Is that for good? Yeah, anyway, sorry to bother your clicking competition. good, cool snakes voices, everyone, but we gotta go find the cult. Bye!
Okay, whatever successes you had with the crowd, and there was a moment when they would have followed you anywhere, has been completely undercut by that.
But say we have
reached a certain equilibrium in the room as they sort of forget about the two of you and decide this is some kind of bizarre performance piece, except for the figure, the daddy-o on the stage, who, as you move to walk off the stage, places a small, tiny hand, gloved hand on your belt, because he's very small.
Yeah. Hey, I like your flow, man.
Thanks, man. Dingo.
We have a little party backstage.
Say what?
We have a little party backstage.
Hey, man, I love to party.
Well, you know, you can go backstage if you want. Go.
All right. Well, that sounds coolio.
Why don't you get backstage with me right now?
Okay. Is it some kind of gangster's paradise back there? Are we talking? What are we gonna? All right. Well,
okay, while they're doing this, what are the three of you doing?
Table has tugging on shirts and be like, anyone kill me?
Are you balancing on one hand while you do that?
Yeah. I take a second where I balance on one hand. I'm like, oh. And then when they either wave me away or think, hey, that guy's cool.
I think I'm going to try and go down the stairs to the basement.
Okay, make a stealth check for me if you want. If you're trying to sneak behind, it looks like you'd have to go behind the bar because this is all one big room. You need
15.
Okay, a 15. Is Bobby, you're joining?
Yeah, I'll go with. I got a 5.
Is Table coming?
Do you want to roll as well?
Yeah, disadvantage. Absolutely, brother. That is an 8. A 9.
Okay, so Filge slips away quickly while this guy is talking to Beston.
Yes.
And Bobby, you try to slip after her, but you are... You.
Oh, wait, no. I got 15.
Oh, the two of you managed to get through, but as you, Table, try to get through, you're intercepted by a bartender who looks down at you and is like, can I help you?
Yeah, you can let me through so I can die in undoubtedly a combat encounter.
Look, man, we all want to die.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But this is for staff only.
Oh, okay.
Hey, man, Baston talks to me. Hey, is it cool if my cool hepcat friend comes with me? He's got no legs. That's how much he hates the Dukes.
Oh, yeah, like, man, if he hates the Dukes...
That sounds interesting, but explain specifically how that follows.
Well, it was a kind of like a... radical protest, man. He was like, bring down the patriarchy or I'll take my own legs off. But no one was around at the time, so he did. And then he had to wait for a while to be rescued. And then he did it again, and he had to wait some more time, and now he's here, man.
Yeah, it turns out if you cut down a table and no one's around, nobody comes.
All right, man. Well, your friend seems pretty cool. He can come back with us, but no one else.
All right.
The two of you are allowed back. He pulls aside.
And then before he goes up, he, like, because the audience, like, the pub's still there, he's like, hey, guys, we're going to take a little break right now, maybe go to the bathroom. But when we come back, there's going to be a certain ska band. I'm not going to say too much, but... Shmim schmalt back, perhaps. Anyway, see you soon.
All right, so the two of you wander through a velvet curtain into a dark room, and as your eyes adjust to the light, we're going to quickly go to the other two. So, Bobby and Filge, you sneak down into the wine cellar. This place mostly sells wine, and...
That's not what a wine cellar means.
No. That's not what I was saying. There's big barrels of wine along one side of the wall.
And you sneak into the cellar and he goes, ooh.
But it seems to be just a normal wine cellar and it's currently empty. There's also some salted meat hanging from hooks in the corner.
In the wine cellar?
Yeah.
I'm going to do an investigation check. That's a 10.
Hey, you got plus 16.
16. Oh, 16. All right, you do a quick investigation, Bobby, and knocking on the barrels, you discover one doesn't slosh and seems to be empty.
Ooh.
I open the lid.
So they're barrels. They don't have a lid.
Are they on their sides?
You got to pop the cork.
They're on their side. Yeah.
All right, well, I roll it out of the way.
Okay, so you very carefully you try to push at it, and the front half of the barrel comes open on a hinge, and you can see that it's a tube leading through the stonework.
Is it big enough for Filch to fit through?
Yes, but it will be squeezed. Quite easy for you to get through.
Okay. I'm going to put my fingers to my lips like a quiet signal and go in.
Scurry in. Okay, Bobby scurries in, and you soon find yourself in a complex, a much bigger rabbit warren of tunnels. That seem familiar to you from your dreams, and you realize that you know the way to the large anteroom that you saw before.
I go.
It's bigger as well for Filge on the other side.
Okay, I go there. I do it.
I follow.
Okay, Filge comes in, and the two of you scurry down, and you find yourselves looking over a big room. There's a semicircular balcony, and there's a bigger space underneath it, and there are figures thronging around underneath, all of them in little hoods, and standing on a dais in the center of it is what looks like in the painting a wooden stool, but you realize it's kind of more like a rack, and chained against it is the figure, unmistakable figure, of Thomas Smedley, about 20 feet below, 15 feet below you. No one spotted you yet, but it feels like in only moments somebody is going to look up and see you there.
And you can hear kind of like, we take the knowledge from the tome. 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 Okay. Etc.
And now we're going to cut to the other room where, as the beatnik walks you in, there his face shimmers as his disguise self spell fails, and he, as he walks through it, revealing the figure of, I guess, a mop-top gnome, as he walks you into a party where there are several other gnomes. The Strahd's gnomes, the gnomes that lurked beneath Castle Ravenloft. What? Although these ones are not as subservient as the ones that used to serve you.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
Wow, you look different in this lighting.
Yes, well, some of us choose to look different sometimes.
This is your, this is a pretty good night. You've been running it for a while?
No, that's not what we... What?
How do you get up? Do you need to send tape, or can you just get up based on accolades?
I don't know. I've been here a week. It's not...
Wow, this
you've been here
crowd?
A day, in fact.
Yeah, it's not very... I don't... Do you
want, start with five and then work your way up?
I don't
or
know.
How much do you pay the headliner versus the MC?
Do you want a spot?
Oh, well, I don't want to go out there, but if you have one free...
Well, we're just sort of, like, trying to bring about the end of the world, and if you...
Right, but there's room in there for some light observational stuff.
I mean, how many people can you bring?
Well, I've got 10 friends, but none of them drink.
Okay, well,
Now, remember, Ben, these guys don't... They don't know if these people are cultists yet. All that they believe is that these are good anti-establishment types.
Sure.
You mentioned something about ending the world. I've got some really tight material that's like, oh, really mean about establishments.
I assume that by coming here, you are interested in joining the others.
Extremely, obviously. Yeah, yes.
Okay.
It's so hard to listen to.
I know, it's really upsetting.
It sucks so much.
I had
much.
To do this for a year, Tom.
And you could have stopped it. You didn't need to make the choice.
But I made it. But I made it, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, it sucks. It fucking sucks. We can talk about how awful it is.
So yeah, we want to join. You want to join, Table?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know how sincere you are.
But you seem cool, he says in that awful voice.
No, but do it more, Dave. Commit more to it.
It's fun. You just blow the cheeks out.
I don't think I can. I'll give it a go, but I'm trying this. I have not tried this privately, so I might discover as I make the sounds that I can't, in fact, do it, all right?
Okay.
But let's give it a go, all right? No? No, all right. But joining our order takes sacrifice.
I mean, look.
And he points over and he said to a tattooist who is sitting in the corner, mm-hmm. and there's a lounge, and he's just finished tattooing.
And that tattooist sounds a lot like Snagglepuss, who Dave will now voice.
A lamp wick knot. This gnome has just been finished having a lamp wick knot tattooed above his breast, and he's finished, and he gets up, and your new host says, please, if you were interested, take a seat.
Table, after you.
All right, and I dash into the seat and put the position my face so the tattoo needle is just above my eye.
It's being operated by a person, though.
Press.
All right, he moves the tattoo gun to your breast.
I gently move it up.
He looks to the host for guidance.
Well,
let's compromise. Do it on his forehead.
Okay.
And he does a lamp wick on his forehead.
Yeah. Cool.
While he tattoos him, you have a second one to talk.
I'd let to, is there some kind of like initiation ceremony I get to go to after I get the cat tattoo?
Well, I assumed you were one of the faithful already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So hot right now.
Excuse me?
The dreams.
The hot?
Yeah, a lot of flames in them, you know.
Well, I'm not familiar.
Oh, well, you probably haven't seen that one. You're probably not a level 7.
Make a deception check. Oh, motherfucker. All
17.
level 7. I thought there was just the others.
No, there's others. I am pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I've got a tattoo, but it's already invisible.
Well, if you're level 7, we should take you to the Dark Lord.
Or let's do it!
Put in a good word for me, because I want to be at least a level 2.
Hey, be cool, man, all right? Fucking chill out.
Well, you know, of course.
It's pathetic when you beg.
Dark Lord isn't here. He's not stored here.
Oh, where is it then? I mean, obviously I know, but...
the Herald knows.
Oh, is the Herald downstairs? I want to chat to him.
The Herald is not in.
Oh, he's everywhere, right?
No, he's literally not in.
Wait, oh.
The Herald is coming, but he is not here yet.
Oh, like, when will he be here?
Soon.
Because I've got some other spots around town I need to hit. You know,
I'm confused. Are you a high-level cultist, or are you still committing to the bit about being a stand-up
comic? Yeah, I'm committed to both. I'm committed to both. Can't a man be both?
That is amazing to me that you can do both.
You kind of have two hobbies, and you wait until one of them kicks off to be the career.
Okay, you missed all of this. You finished getting a tattoo of the Lampwick Knot table on your forehead, and expecting that Baston needs one too to join the cult, you discover that he's just talked the guy into letting you both in anyway.
Well, fair enough.
So are we going to hit up the ritual or what?
It's downstairs.
He passes you both a blood red glass of wine, and he's like, follow me.
Okay, cool.
Baston, no, don't do that anymore.
Okay, was that done with that? All right, cool.
Now, meanwhile...
Okay. From what Bobby knows...
Yes.
We've had the information that Von Zarevich is involved in this.
Yes.
I think seeing all the gnomes triggers something in Bobby, and he sort of really puts two and two together and is like, okay, and he casts Disguise Self as Count Von Zarevich.
Ooh.
Oh, damn.
No one's seen you yet. Okay, so great. You're going to use the Disguise Self spell?
Yep.
All right.
Goodness.
This is a hero gambit. So you disguise yourself as that Barovian Lord of Darkness, Strahd, as they chant... As what were they chanting?
Then?
Oh, they were like...
Others? Oh, anyway.
They were all like...
Some cult bullshit.
They were like...
Take the thing, put it in the book.
Yeah, the book. We learned
take
from the book.
Take the thing, put it in the book. Take the thing. Put it in the book.
That's all fantasy.
Now I want to point out this may not be an issue. This may not be an issue in the low light forced perspective of being up high, but Disguise Self can only give you an extra foot, and Zarevich was substantially taller than you, Bobby.
Can he sit on my shoulders or stand on my back?
You can sort of lift him up over the balcony. Yes, but if you go downstairs, this will probably.
How long is my cloak? And are there curtains around?
Are you asking Simon Greiner to do a kid sneaking into a film? Long trench coat.
I said there were curtains on all the doors, so yeah, there are long black curtains. You hop up onto Filch's shoulders, make Filch seem 1 foot shorter to get the size right, and then you swaddle her in curtains, and then you turn into a Dracula. No one has seen you yet.
I yell out,
"Oi, cunts!" He is risen! He has risen too early, though. Why has he risen?
And as all of the Mop-Top Knowns, the others as they called themselves, turn, they all steal, they set their steely gazes on you as hundreds of gnomes watch you. And at that moment, for a reason that makes no sense to you at all, a mouth manifests on your torso.
Hey, save some for me. I'm hungry too.
To find out how Bobby Pancakes dies, tune into the next episode of Dragon Friends.
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Eden Lacey, Simon Greiner, and Michael Hing. Our Dungeon Master is Dave Harmon, with NPC voices provided by Ben Jenkins and live accompaniments by Tom Cardy. Our special guest this week was Tom Walker, with an additional cut-in at the end there by Guy Montgomery. Shakira Khan designs our website. The podcast is edited, mixed, and mastered by me, Hugh Guest, and new episodes are recorded live each month at Giant Dwarf Theatre in Sydney. Until next time.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.